Welcome back. 4:48, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, The Truth. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times on this Monday afternoon. I'm going to check in with Deborah Simmons. She writes, Can We Talk? For the Washington Times. And she's actually been involved in a couple of stories over the weekend. I think, Deborah, correct me if I'm wrong, you started out writing about the rebirth of the Howard Theater, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then it kind of parlayed into a side story about Bill Cosby, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But I do want to talk to you about the Howard Theater, because I think this is a big deal for Washington, isn't it?
It's a huge deal for Washington, because the Howard was the first full-fledged playhouse for African Americans. But, of course, blacks weren't the only ones who were in the audience.
Sure.
They loved what the performers were doing as much as they did the city and were in and out. But yes, indeed it was. And it was a beautiful thing and a huge cultural icon, that was even blasted. I mean, remained untouched when the riots went on in 68.
Mm-hmm.
Folks were like, okay, keep your hands off the Howard. while the rest of the U Street corridor was torched and, you know, devastated.
Yeah.
And pretty much stayed that way, as a matter of fact, until Marion Barry in the 1980s built a new municipal center, put it on the corner of 14th and U Streets, and said it was going to be a catalyst for renovation along that corner. But it's actually taken. Now it's been some 35 or so years later that it's actually opening its doors, and it's gorgeous inside.
No, that's wonderful.
Yes.
Stars lining up to perform there?
Stars lining up. Pick a genre or a comedian. Tap dancers. There's a little bit of everything. And then Berry Gordy is going to be the humongous honoree that night, and then there'll be several others as well, but he's the most prominent.
Yeah, Mr. Motown.
Bill Cosby is coming back to town, who spent many of his years when he was in the military stationed in the Washington area, and when he was courting his wife, as a matter of fact, along the U Street corridor. So he'll be in D.C. to be one of the MCs.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen this happen in other cities across America, and I'm always impressed. I know right up the road in my hometown of Baltimore, they took the Hippodrome Theater, and I don't know if you've been there, but they took it, and that was built in 1914. So it's along the similar lines, I think.
The Hippodrome was actually one of those, along with the Royal and a couple of other, you know, one in Philly, Detroit, all these northern and northeastern towns had these theaters because of segregation. And the Hippodrome was on that circuit as well. The performers would go back and forth. And many folks who would get bit B parts in major motion pictures later, you know, later in the 30s and the 40s, but had spectacular followings in major U.S. cities.
Yeah, and I think the Howard was built in about 1910.
Of the last century.
Right,
yes.
And the Hippodrome was built in 1914, so they're of the same era. And I know when they revamped the Hippodrome, they made it into one beautiful venue, and I've seen a couple of performances there, and it's just outstanding. I love going there.
Yeah, the thing is that you still get to be able to see live performances, of course, but there's also non-musical shows that are going on there anymore, and the fact that they have events across the family spectrum where before it was usually adult entertainment that was going on. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm very happy to hear this. I know it's been a long time in the works, and I'm glad we're going to have some big-name performers coming to town, and I know it's going to do well for the local economy. And I also know that as a result of your conversation with Bill Cosby talking about the Howard Theater, you threw a question at him. Did you catch him off guard with the Trayvon thing?
I caught him myself off guard, because I was doing on Friday when I interviewed what women around the world are doing, and that's I'm in the beauty shop before Passover and Easter trying to take care of my hairdo, and his publicist had returned my call and said, Mr. Cosby is waiting for you to call him. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I run out to my car with dripping hair and all.
Oh,
and,
no.
and called him. And he was very gracious enough to talk to me about not only the history and the cultural aspect of what it means for the Howard Theater and theaters like that, but also it means something deeply in a humanitarian aspect, because you had very ordinary people who were attending these types of theaters who got to see very up close these stars who were performing on their behalf on stage. Sure, they were paying to see them, but just how important that was, that they could actually rub shoulders with people like that, and the cultural aspect of that as well. So we were just having a conversation like that. And you know, he's provocative. It's actually how I got to meet Mr. Cosby. He noticed somehow that I was writing about cultural and education stories, and sent me an email by a third party that said, Mr. Cosby thinks you need to talk about such and such and such. And I was like, ooh, wonder if this is the real Bill Cosby.
Yeah, really.
So I'm taking cues from him and listening to him. And then, you know, the little birdie jumped on his shoulder and said, Mr. Cosby, I'm sure you've talked about the Trayvon Martin case personally, but have you talked about it publicly yet? And he said, no. Provoking me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, oh, would you like to comment? He said, are you writing? I said, yes, sir. And the first words out of his mouth were the gun. And then he went to put it in context. I mean, this is a military guy.
Yeah.
Remember, this is a father who lost his son to a senseless violent crime several years ago. His only son, by the way,
mm-hmm.
who was killed by a gunman when he was robbed, changing a tire on the car.
I remember
and
that.
And he put this in the context of, would Mr. Zimmerman have felt empowered to even approach the situation after being told by the 911 officer, operator not to, would he have felt as empowered had he not held that gun?
Yeah. Yeah, and I saw that comment and I thought, you know, he's right. And I will say this, I have a great deal of respect for Bill Cosby. I have always admired him. I think he's done the right things in life. I think he's been successful because of his actions. I agree with 99% of what he says, but I still have a tough time blaming the gun. I always have to blame the person, and I sort of have a personal story to tell there, in that I was in a business it was my parents' business, and when I was a young man, I used to have to run the business in the evening hours, and it was a restaurant business, and it took in a lot of cash. This is long before credit cards were used on a regular basis for meals, and you know those days.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't uncommon for me to carry thousands and thousands of dollars out of there at nighttime. And after being robbed a couple times at gunpoint, my brother and I both having, you know, in fact, we've had two assailants, one holding a gun to his head and one to mine, and we've had money removed. I finally said, you know, I've had enough of this. I'm going to go get a gun. I'm going to protect myself, especially after a restaurant not too far away had their employees huddled into a walk-in box and executed by people.
Wow.
And so I said, you know, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to sit back and watch my people or me get killed by somebody. I'm going to take this and I'll arm myself, and I did, and I wore a .38 snub nose on my ankle most of the day when I was there, and at nighttime I would move it to my waist. It was always concealed, and never did I have to pull the trigger. I pulled it one night when a guy made the mistake of pulling a knife on me, and it was the Great Equalizer, and he went to jail. And, you know, and it was one of these situations that ever since then I've looked at it and I've gone, you know, I was responsible with that gun. I still have that gun, by the way. I don't carry it anymore because I have no need to. But I could never blame the gun. And so when I hear somebody say it's the gun, I said, no, it's not. It's the person. You know, it's the person. You have to look into the heart of the person. And that's the only difficulty I have with him saying that. And again, I think I'm pretty upfront about it. I like the guy.
And I think I can agree. I love him. I still have some of his old
albums.
Albums.
Yes, so do I.
My brother Russell, he's a wonderful social commentator. Commentator, as all really, really good comedians are, whether you're talking about Dennis Miller or Lenny Bruce, Red Fox, you know, it doesn't matter. But the thing is I'm glad that you felt, knew what to do to protect yourself and to protect your family's business. And I don't think, and I can hardly speak for Mr. Cosby, that he blames Mr. Zimmerman, George Zimmerman, for carrying the gun. And this is me talking, not Cosby now, but the gun is actually an extension of yourself, any more than an ink pen, a computer, the Blackberries and smartphones we carry, and it is how you use those instruments.
Yeah.
How you use it. You carried yourself as you did before you got that gun in the same manner, I bet.
Yeah. And
did you take any more risks?
No.
Right.
No. In fact, I gave up money. When I was robbed a couple times, I just handed the money over because it wasn't worth it. I bought it for situations that could arise where I knew I had no other way out.
Right. And we talked about this last week, which is exactly what the National Sheriff's Association recommends
yeah.
in its Neighborhood Watch manual. Don't be armed and do not confront the suspect or the person that you are suspecting.
Yep.
You know, it's like, you know, our parents told us and our grandparents told us, don't go looking for trouble.
Yep, I agree with you. All right, Deborah, great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on this afternoon. I knew it was kind of short notice.
Yeah.
But,
anytime for you, Andy.
Thank you. You're a sweetheart.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Deborah Simmons, she writes, Can We Talk for the Washington Times. Always has great stuff.